first interview for season two of the Choppers Club golf show. Like to welcome Lucas Higgins to the show. Mate, how you going?
Yeah, I'm good, mate. I'm good. Glad to be here.
Yeah. I don't know if you're the lucky one or the unlucky one. First cab off the rank with interviews for this season. Season one was solely interviews, but this year I've gone down a different path with a co-host who won't be with us tonight, so it'll just be me and you, mate. But this episode's just about getting to know you and, putting our Aussie golfers out there.
Yeah, awesome. Look forward to it.
All right, mate, just pretty simple here. Just introduce yourself to the listeners and what got you into golf, mate, and just go from there.
Yeah, so I'm 24 years old. Play out of Moolloomba in northern New South Wales. My old man got me into golf when I was about five. It just started. He asked me to come down to the range with him one day, and I went down and fell in love with it ever since, and got my first handicap when I was nine, and played a few other sports as well growing up, which he also introduced me to. And then from about the age of 12, I took golf more seriously, and that was the one I felt like I wanted to pursue and have done so.
Yeah, nice, man. What were the other sports you dabbled in, and how did golf get across the line as a sport you chose?
Yes, I played cricket as well and tennis, so they were kind of the three. So from memory, I think cricket and tennis kind of like swapped the different seasons, so I was able to play both.
Yep.
So both on a Saturday from memory. I took up tennis a little bit later than both cricket and golf, and that kind of fizzled out pretty quickly.
Yep.
But then when I was 12, I made the primary school state team for golf for New South Wales, and that was part of solidifying my decision. Dad also was kind of like, hey, you're pretty good at, a couple of these sports, and it might be time to try and pick one and take it a bit more serious. And golf kind of, that decision actually happened really quickly. It wasn't actually too much thought in the end. It was like, yeah, sweet, but let's do golf, because it's one of those sports, you can practice by yourself, and it was close to home, so could, walk if I needed to, and we didn't have a bowling machine or anything like that, so it was just easy to practice golf by yourself. And
very true, mate. You said the primary school golf team kind of got you started there on that, down that golf track, or solely golf. After that, how did the progression go to from there to now with your Oz Tour card?
Yeah, so I played a few junior tournaments growing up, not nowhere near as many as a lot of other kids my age. Like, I still go around to a few, but just with like where our location was here in, northern New South Wales, you're a couple of hours from Brizzy and obviously a fair way from Sydney. So it was kind of that awkward sort of region where I'd try and go play the big four round events over the school holidays and stuff like that. But that was all I got around to. I played those growing up as a kid, and I was okay. Like, I wasn't a top junior, but I was, I'd always finish what felt like, 10th roughly around that sort of area, sometimes a little better in my age group. Fairly consistently around there. So I wasn't a standout junior by any means. And then I would call myself probably a late bloomer in terms of, like a lot of kids were really good at, that 14, 15. And not to say that I wasn't obviously bad, but I was a long way behind them, to be honest. And I just kind of kept sticking with it and pursuing with it. And then, I just turned pro back in April of 2021 now. So after kind of the COVID years, and I was lucky enough to have a tour card for this year.
Mm. Looking back on, as you just said, you're a bit of a late bloomer there, and you see it in not just golf, you see it in a lot of sports where if kids aren't, in that top threshold of juniors coming up, whether it be golf, and you got your cricket or tennis, or even in my background, rugby league, you see the kids that aren't in that top group and don't have that little name behind them, and they kind of think, oh, well, I don't have that name at 14 or 15. I guess this isn't for me, sort of thing. And a lot of good players actually stop because they don't get the recognition. With you gaining your tour card there, do you look back on that and a sense of just proud about yourself, just the way you kept chipping away, even though you, as you said, you mightn't have had the big name as some of the juniors, but the mental ability there to just keep chipping away at it and eventually getting your tour card's got to be something you're pretty proud of?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's such a, you just still learn so much about yourself and about the game I'm very proud of how far I've come and it's always one of those things. I've always had good people around me to kind of keep pushing me to keep going and keep going. Like I've always had a bit of a love for the game. There was probably a brief few months there, probably about 5 years ago, where I did think about giving it away, seriously. That was kind of a rough patch there for a while, but I managed to get through that and really push through that. And now, it's just, the journey and, the lessons learnt never really ever stop, which I think makes golf such a great game, to be honest.
Yep. I guess you're just always chasing, in a sense, chasing perfection with golf. But as we both know, she can be a brutal sport at times, but I guess the more you chip away at it and keep going and keep your head down like you have so far, and you've gotten this far already, she's just the start of your journey, surely.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, it's, plenty of ways to go, that's for sure.
Now, mate, for the listeners that mightn't be up to speed with how you come across, how you come to gaining your tour card, what's the process there? Like, how did that happen? And what do you have to go through to get that?
Yeah, so, I mean, over the last, the last 2 years, so I basically started, in April 21, so I went to qualifying school. So as simple as I can explain it is kind of you have, in Australia here, you have stage one and final stage.
Yep.
So back when I first went, there was, I think, a stage in four states. So I think from memory, there was like 50 in my stage, and the top 25% of those 50 get through to the final stage.
Yep.
So I was actually lucky enough to win first stage when I first went at Lakelands on the Gold Coast.
Awesome.
And then you've got all the top 25% of those four fields, plus all the guys that are exempt into final stage. So the guys who just missed out on their tour cards from the previous year and other people that are exempt for whatever reason. So, I got to final stage and I missed my card at final stage by two shots the first year I went. Mm. So basically I had full tournament membership, which allowed me to play in pro-ams and pre-qualify for tour events and possibly get a start in some tour events with invites, etc. So top 50 keep your card on the tour. I finished 58th on the season with limited starts. So I just didn't get to play enough events potentially. And I got to play enough where I could have got my card, but I just didn't quite play well enough.
Yep.
So then I repeated that process, went back to final stage of Q school. So I was exempt and then missed again, but I had some status for the last year, so the 22-23 season.
Yep.
And then I finished 57th on the order of merit. I had to make the dreaded trip back to Moonee Links again. And then I was, tied 12th at Q school. So I think my finishing position was 16th and top 30 get their card. So yeah, I've got a bit more status, which is, a nice thing to have after not so much a couple of rough years, but a couple of years of what it could have been, I suppose.
Yeah, just a couple of near misses there to start off with.
Yeah.
Mate, with the training side of things, I guess, the average person would just think, golfers, they get to train all day and that's it. Like, they should all be really good or whatever, but they don't really realise that as an amateur, a lot of the time, you've got to also work to fit work and train around that. What was your schedule like as an amateur, and has it changed much now?
So the last kind of like 4 or 5 years has been like a little bit the same in terms of I work at the golf club at Moorwoolumbah. Just work casually in there when I'm obviously not playing. But probably the biggest difference is now that I'm playing a hell of a lot more than what I would as an amateur. So like for example, when I was an amateur, I think the most amount of weeks I played in a row was 3, I think.
Yep.
And then last year we played 8 events in 9 weeks last year.
Ooh.
So the load is certainly a lot more as a professional, especially you know, especially in Australia where the season is so short and condensed. Like it basically runs from October through to April. So they have, I think, 16 events last year from in that time span. So it kind of goes pretty quick. So, but yeah, at the moment I'm just working in the pro shop still when I'm home, and then pretty much out there playing just about every day. I do try and have the odd day off just to, you know, recover and mentally stay fresh from the game. But yeah, I'm more or less out there every day doing some sort of practice.
Yeah, would you say like you said, with the condensed schedule, and then obviously to step up from amateur, not playing as much, and then turning pro, and all of a sudden you got all these tournaments back to back to back. Would you nearly say that the recovery side of things, like giving yourself a day off, you know, just to let the body wind back down, is nearly as important as having a club in your hands and swinging and playing holes?
Yeah, I think that side of it's way more important and definitely overlooked as well. And doing some stretching and strength and conditioning stuff as well is also massive. Keep your body fresh and, you know, so if, you know, more or less, like for me, because I'm a bit new to the tour as well, I haven't played a lot of the courses that we've been playing on. So it's, for me, it's been that little bit harder to kind of have that day off, because it's like, well, then I'm underprepared. So
yeah, very true.
So I suppose the upcoming season, I'll be able to a bit more be like, yeah, I've played that course, I know where to go. I can, you know, take that extra 1 or 2 days off over the, you know, 8-week period, hopefully makes a bit of a difference.
Yeah, for sure. Mate, I'll ask you about a standard training day or a week in a tick, because I'm a bit of a golf nerd like that. I love to pick the brains of pro golfers and see what their schedule's like. But as you said, you're playing a lot of these courses maybe for the first time, or and they're relatively new to yourself. Leading into a tournament, is there the ability to go there, you know, the few days before and scout the course out, or what's it look like leading into a tournament?
Yeah, so for me, usually if the tournament starts on the Thursday, which is, you know, the case most of the time, I'll arrive on the Monday morning.
Yep.
And I usually try and just get in 18 holes and just get a look and a feel for the course, and then do a little bit of practice. Me and my coach, Chris Gibson, and my performance coach, Donnie Lainsbury, we have a bit of like a thing going. We call it Monday check-in. So I'll, you know, send a few swing videos and stuff to Chris, and then give Donnie a call, see where my headspace is at. And that kind of, you know, keeps us all in check.
Yep.
And then Tuesday, usually go out and play 9 holes. If it's a course I haven't played before, I'll go usually play the 9 where maybe some of the tee shots are a bit more, you know, there's a few options there. So I'll I've got that dialed in, do a bit more practice. And then Wednesday, usually just practice, because typically there's a pro-am on. So if I don't get to play in the pro-am, I'll, just practice not too much, a few hours, and just really take it easy and make sure I'm well rested and recovered for the week ahead.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Nice. Let's a week, I guess, where you're not playing a tournament or something like that. You got a few more days. Like, what's a standard practice day for you, I guess, not leading into a tournament? Like, if you've got that weekend off, or what's going on? What's a standard week, or just a standard day training wise for you?
Yeah, so I mean, a standard day for me is growing up, I wasn't really in any of the high performance squads and stuff like that. So for me, over the last like couple of months, something I've been trying to get into a bit more is some gym work and getting to the gym. And I do Pilates as well, like once a week.
Yep.
So yeah, I try and obviously 4 or 5 times a week I do that. So that will usually be in there. And then typically I like to work on inside 100, so a lot of wedge play stuff. Like I usually start with a bit of technical aspects, and then like for technical for me is just working on some feels. I don't actually really video my swing a hell of a lot.
Yeah, okay.
So technical feels of what me and my coach are working on. And then just a bit of random practice. So yeah, I might spend a couple hours there. A little bit of putting. I don't spend a massive amount of time putting. Like I just like putting. I'm not a massive stand there with a mirror, do all those sorts of drills. Okay. I just like to hit putts and, you know, try and hole as many putts as I can.
Yep.
And then yeah, usually go out and play holes and just play holes, chip around the greens and then hit some balls if my swing's struggling a little bit, but that's probably the best part of my game is my ball striking. So I don't overly hit a lot of balls just with irons. Like I like to, again, go out on course and hit shots and feel shots and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, right. Yeah, nice.
So yeah, that would probably take up, like including the gym, like 5 or 6 hours of my day.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, right. Yeah, it's always always interesting to see what you pro golfers are up to. And as you said, the best part of your game is probably your ball striking. That is definitely my worst, unless you call finding the middle of the hosel good ball striker, mate. that's about the only thing I'm good at finding at the moment on a golf club.
Yeah, no, you just got to keep working at it, mate. It's a long road.
Make
some time.
I'll have to try and find some. Maybe they can put some more hours in a day.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it does seem to be that never-ending battle, right?
Yeah, it always is, man. All right, as you said, you're playing some relatively new courses at the moment. Out of all the courses you've played, is there one that sticks out above everything else? Have you got a favourite course that you've played?
I can't ever really narrow down a particular favourite. I've probably got 3 that I really enjoy. Plus, I love Kingston Heath. It's just a great golf course. It's just one of my favorites. The last 4 holes are probably the toughest stretch of golf that you just about play.
Yep.
Another one is Lake Carron up in Western Australia.
Yep.
Played the Australian Amateur over there a while ago now, and yeah, that was just like it was the fairways were all strapped up, and it was every hole was a little bit different, and that was pretty pure. And then the last one is probably not so much a course, but it's just the whole place is a national as well down in Victoria.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Like all 3 courses down there are just fantastic, and the facilities and just the whole vibe down there is just unreal.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, nice. How many times have you played Kingston Heath? Because I have heard from a few people that played there that, yeah, that's right up there with their top courses they've played as well.
I played 3 rounds there. So yeah, yep. I played the Vic Amateur there 1 year, and then the Australian Open last year.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Nice. I've spoken to a few people that have played there, and they can't speak highly enough of the course. It's obviously pretty good if everyone's talking about it, mate. Speaking of, you couldn't pick a favourite. Is there a bucket list course that if the Oz PGA or even PGA over in America gives you the call up and says, look, mate, grab the clubs. We're going to give you a ticket to whatever golf course you want to play. Where are you going?
I really enjoy Bethpage Black.
Yeah, nice.
Just unbelievably hard, and it just intrigues me to want to be able to go play that. And I believe they have a sign on like the clubhouse or near the first tee, and it basically just bewares you that only basically elite golfers should play off the black tees.
Oh, yeah, I have seen that. Yeah,
yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's good, because back in season 1 when I did strictly interviews like this, there wasn't much variety. Everyone's bucket list was Augusta.
I could see why.
Yeah,
for sure,
you can see why, but. Bethpage Black, I think there was a couple of random ones. Bethpage Black, that's the first time it's come up. But, yeah, that is a notoriously hard stretch of holes, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I remember always, like, even playing it on the PlayStation as a kid, and it was just like, you just remember, like, it was just something about it even back then that just was like, this is hard on the PlayStation. Imagine what it's like in real life.
Yeah, and the PlayStation games, they give you all sorts of cheats too to get out of there. So
yeah, they do.
If you can't beat Bethpage on the PlayStation, something's going on. Mate, let's say you've been given the green light to go to Bethpage Black. There's but you've got to fill out a group. You've got to have a foursome. There's yourself. Who are the three other people that you'd take? And they can be passed on or still with us. Who's filling out your dream team there?
I think you can't go past Tiger.
Yep.
I think Tiger's just, you know, to be able to talk to him about some of the stuff that he's done. It would just be unreal. And probably another couple. I'll take a couple of actors. I'll take Kevin Hart and The Rock. I just think they.
Yeah. Okay. Yep.
I've seen a lot of electric chemistry there, and I just think you'd be in for an absolute great day. Yeah. I don't know if they can play golf or not, but
it doesn't matter.
You'd soon find out. Yeah, it wouldn't matter.
Well, you've got Tiger there for the golf, and then you've got those two there just for a good time.
Yeah.
Speaking of Tiger, and like I've had my opinions on this, but you know my opinions aren't that of a pro golfer. Obviously, what he's been through has been nothing short of huge. There's always the debate there that, for a while now, it's if he'll play again. But do you believe there's another win there somewhere for him?
Look, I don't think so.
Yep.
I just don't know how his body can handle 4 days like that. I think talent and everything, and obviously how he plays, is definitely like it's all still there. I just genuinely don't think he can actually last like 4 days with all that's happened. And but if there's anything we've learned about Tiger, you can never count the guy out, right?
Yeah.
I mean, like I think I had a conversation with someone before he won the Masters, and I definitely didn't write him off, but I went, it'll be a struggle. And he kind of, to be honest, he did it in cruise control, really, when he won that 2019 Masters. I hope he does come back and win. Like, I think it would just be a testament to who he is as a human being, let alone a golfer.
Yeah. Obviously, it'd be huge for the sport of golf, but look, I'm with you there, talent-wise and all those things. I think, there's definitely that there to win, but there's one thing I've said about him, obviously, like for a while, is if there's one course he'll be able to win at each year's Augusta, just with the experience there, the knowledge he's got. He's got 5 green jackets, but it just looks like this latest injury, the legs, just the cherry on top of things to go wrong for him. For how much he knows that course, he knows where to miss, where to hit it, everything, and he just. It's just the walk, and he couldn't even get around there.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, it's probably the hilliest course around too for him. And I think, if his leg, was better and he could, if they do fix it, I'll definitely change my answer so that he could win. But, you don't know what kind of stuff he's trying as well, right? Imagine all the doctors and the people that he's seeing to try and figure out a way to get it fixed. I don't know if you actually just seen. I believe I read something today or yesterday about Jack Nicklaus actually was talking to Tiger and he's still trying to find ways to fix a leg because he still wants to play competitively. Yeah. So, hopefully he can come back and win and prove us all wrong.
shut us all up would be cool.
Very.
Mate, we're just going to go back a bit into your golf game. Is there a current golfer or a past golfer growing up that you kind of idolise? Is there anyone that you try to model your game around, or are you more just trying to, this works for me, this is how I'm going to do it?
Growing up, again, Tiger was, he was a role model for everybody, and what the stuff he did was unbelievable.
Mm.
I've never really tried to, I think, maybe at times when I was younger, I think everyone tried to swing it like Adam Scott, and why wouldn't you?
Yeah, it's beautiful.
But yeah, in terms of trying to model my game off anyone, like there's a lot of guys' games that I like. Short game wise, I do watch a lot of stuff with what the best do. I don't really try and copy what they do, but I, you know, take those little tendencies of what makes them do that really well. But yeah, in terms of try and model my game off someone, no, I don't. I just try and do my own thing.
Yeah, I think that's the perfect way to do it. I think just whatever works for you, do. And if you can learn anything off others along the way, I think that's the way to go. Mate, well, I forgot to ask you, let's an easy one here. Well, a pretty standard question, sorry. Favorite golfer, and if it's not an Australian golfer, who's your favorite Aussie golfer?
Bit of a controversial one here. My favorite Aussie golfer is actually Greg Norman.
Okay. Yep.
Yeah, I like this. The stuff he did, mate, back in the day, like when, like he really brought Australian golf to light, right?
Yep.
And unfortunately, I wish he won a lot more than what he did. I mean, he still won a lot of events, and I think it's just a shame that his career probably isn't recognized as well as it should be. Because you know he didn't obviously, you know, he won two majors, which is still very, very good. But you know, people don't put him in the all-time greats because he hasn't won, you know, six or seven majors. But yeah, I mean, all the Aussie guys, you know, you all look up to them, like
Dave Scott, for sure.
All those guys they're unbelievable. Cam, they're, you know, it's great watching. It's great being watching those guys come back and play in Australia. And
it is really cool. Awesome. Just on Greg Norman there, and look at it. Won't get too crazy here, but what's the Live Golf saga that's rolling into its second season now? What's your take on the whole Live versus PGA kind of, without getting too political here? Just what's your take on it all?
Mate, like I'm kind of on the fence about it all. Like I think, you know, there's things that we can all do better and be better. I think for professional golfers, it's a good thing, like that we can potentially, you know, play for more money. But I'm not really in favor for or against any of the tours, really. Like, I mean, for me personally, I just want my golf to keep progressing and see where I can take that. And if I could get on either one of those tours, I'd be pretty happy.
You're laughing, aren't you? I guess there's pros and cons to both, as there is in everything, really. Hey, and stuff like that. So look, there's some good things that Liv's doing. I mean, it's made some of the other tournaments have a look and restructure what they're doing. And then you can argue that there's stuff that the PGA Tour and all the other tours are doing better than Liv. So in an ideal world, it'd be cool if they could both coexist next to each other.
Yeah, I think that would be definitely ideal. You know, for sure. Like, I mean, I think at the end of the day, like golfers, that you know, a lot of the golfers are still friends, like at the end of the day, it's a game of golf. You know, like so. Hopefully it can all work out one day.
Yeah, well, fingers crossed. We'll sit here and it'd be good to see them both. But, you know, like if you could flip between the two just during the year, and you know, one week you play Live, the next week you can come back and play PGA. I think that would be the ideal outcome for everyone, you reckon?
Yeah, I think so.
Mate, we're going to – is there anything in your golf bag? I didn't send this one through to you, but I remember it's one I've asked previously. Is there anything in your golf bag besides clubs, balls, tees, whatever, that maybe the average golfer wouldn't carry on them? Is there any weird gadgets you got going on in there?
Not really. I do like to leave a couple of little, like, stretchy bands in there to do some pre-round stuff. Little things like that, but yeah, nothing crazy. It's just tees, a whole lot of coins, the ball markers, and nothing too crazy.
Yeah, is there any superstitions you carry around the golf course, or you do pre-round anything?
No superstitions. I feel like if you start, it's where do you stop? I just pull out whatever coin comes out of my bag and mark the golf ball with that.
Yeah, no, that's right. I've had a few people that carry a certain amount of tees in one pocket, certain amount of balls in the other, and all of a sudden they've got 15 different things going on in their bag, and as you said, there's not really any line to stop once that happens.
Yeah, I think if it makes sense to the person, go for it. But yeah, for me personally, I don't. Golf's hard enough as it is. So
you don't need to make it any harder, do you?
Yeah,
mate. Talk us through now. It might be a bit hard to pick one, but talk us through the best shot you've hit. If that's in a tournament, whether it might be it might have been a clutch par save, it might be a hole out for eagle, it might be the holy grail hole in one. Is there a shot there that, or a couple of shots there that stick out above all the others you've hit?
Probably one of the clutcher shots I've hit was I was lucky enough to win a 2-day pro am at Wagga Wagga last year. On the 16th hole there, so it was two rounder, so second round, I think from memory I was level with three holes to go, and then level with the other guy. I can't remember what our score was at the time. And then, I had hit driver and a mid iron onto the green, and I had this 35 footer.
Yep.
Could have been maybe a little longer, but I think that was about what it was.
Yep.
Up over a ridge and was kind of running away once it got over the ridge, and the guy who putted before me had a similar putt, but was probably 50 feet away, and he hit it 10 feet past, and I was like, oh, okay, this could be pretty quick. And and I just remember just kind of getting that thought out of my head, and I just remember seeing this pitch mark 8 feet in front of my ball, and then there was another one that was on top of the ridge. Yep. It was kind of connected these dots. It was really weird, and I was like, if I roll it over this one and over that one, it's got a good chance of going in. So I roll it over the first one, and then gets up over the hill, roll over the second one. I was like, oh, this is looking all right here. And yeah, lucky enough, it went in the center of the hole, and that got me two shots up with two to go. And I was lucky enough to finish par par and close it out by one. So that was probably the clutchest shot I've hit in tournament. And then probably one of the coolest shots I hit was had my a hole in one at the TPS Sydney event last year, also a couple of weeks before that Wagga event. And hit this 8-iron from 120. It was 125 maybe. It was pretty stiff into the breeze, and landed 10 feet past. And then the spectator up near the green who was doing the scoring, but put her hands up and nearly fell off a chair. And I didn't see that one go in, unfortunately, but it was definitely nice to throw down a one on the card.
Yeah, it would have been a nice little treat to go look in the hole and see your ball sitting in the bottom too, I'm sure.
Yeah, definitely.
There's two pretty clutch shots there. Mate, before I dive into the last question I've got here, in terms of watching golf, are you a big golf watcher, not just PGA or what's going on in the big tours, but even just the Australian Tour? Are you into watching those events, or you try to just worry about your own game and don't get caught up watching too much golf?
I typically like to watch the majors. They're kind of a must watch.
Yep.
But I'm a big fan of close golf events. I love watching three guys within one shot going down the last three holes. I don't breakaway, unless it was myself breaking away from from a pack. In terms of watching golf, I like watching close golf tournaments. Just the seeing other people do cool things is it always is pretty cool. So you watch someone hole a bunker shot to win a tournament, or there's so many cool things that happen out of down a stretch of a golf tournament.
Yep.
And on Aussie Tour stuff, I watch a bit of that. So obviously, know a lot of the guys. And again, hopefully I'm playing on the weekend and not sitting at home watching it.
Very true.
But I do watch a little bit of golf. I definitely would say not as much as what I used to, but I watch enough. Watch the big majors and then all the majors and then, a little bit of stuff in between that.
Yeah, nice, man. That's all. Yeah, nice. Mate, just the last one I've got for you here. What's the goals for this season ahead? Is it a win? Is it, obviously, you want to keep your tour card. Is it to progress again? Yeah, talk us through it.
Yeah, so, I mean, I've got a lot of, like, so too many goals to name.
yep.
All of them, but, yeah, I mean, definitely one is to win.
Yep.
For sure, like, I've been lucky enough in my first couple of years, I've won a couple of two-day pro-ams and a few single day pro ams, and I've been in the last group on a Saturday in a 4-round event, and the last group on a Sunday in a 4-round event.
Yep.
So yeah, I really want to try and tick off a win there. That would be that's goal number one, and then obviously you do that, you keep your card for a couple of years, so that kind of goes hand in hand with keeping my card.
Yep.
Very true. And then another big goal of mine is I want to have a crack at an overseas tour school. I'm not too sure of what one yet. Possibly leading towards the DP tour school later in the year. But yeah, if I could progress to another tour and that would probably be above winning, to be honest. Here in Australia, but yeah, like I'd ideally keep my card here, and then if I could get a overseas tour card as well somewhere else, and you know, play a bit of both and just keep progressing. Like, I think there's a lot of mini goals that I have within my own game, but yeah, that'd be the main two or three that I have for this upcoming season for sure.
Yeah, nice, man. Look, just going off this little chat we've had here, you know, how you seem like you've got your head pretty switched on and you're a hard worker, so I don't see why none of those goals will come true for you this season ahead, and obviously wish you the best of luck with that. But just quickly, this might help give you a bit of confidence maybe. We had Blake Windred on at the start of season one. I had him again after he'd done a little bit at the end of season one. Mate, before he come on here, he hadn't won a tournament, and he came on here and then he won the Victoria Open, ended up on the Challenge Tour and made his European Tour debut. So, look, this podcast might also be another little launching platform for you.
Yeah, well, I'd be more than content with that. So that sounds good to me.
Right, well, if it goes like Blake, I'll talk to you in a couple of months' time when you've gone and won and you're overseas on a different tour.
That sounds good to me, mate.
mate, Lucas, thanks heaps for jumping on, man. Really appreciate it. Late at night during the week as well. So best luck with the season ahead, and we'll stay in touch when you get that win.
Too easy. Thank you, mate. Appreciate it.
Thanks, mate. Talk to you soon.